You're listening to Parents, You've Got This, the expert guide to parenthood.
The complete guide to pregnancy, birth, baby and parenthood. This podcast is brought to you by Parents, You've Got This and proudly supported by Mestella. Mestella is a natural origin skincare for babies and children, recommended by healthcare professionals. Mestella by Parents' Side since 1950.
Today's episode is all about toddlers' sleep, and it's a big one because during toddlerhood, there's lots of things that change. You know, they start fighting, going to bed, they can drop their naps, there's night terrors, and they also move to the big bed, which is, you know, a big challenging time.
It is lucky that we have the very best sleep experts here with us today. We have our sleep experts from Infant Sleep Australia. We have Dr. Laura Conway and we have Dr. Fallon Cook here with us to share their research, their expertise and their amazing targeted programs that they develop with families to get their little ones sleeping really well through all the stages of their early development. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
So our first question today is all around toddler's sleep. So what can we expect for toddler's sleep?
Well, I think it's important for us to define toddlers first. So we tend to think of toddlers as little ones who are aged 1 year up till around three and a half. Now, in that time, that's a really wide number of years. So toddler sleep looks very different whether you've got a 12-month-old toddler or whether you've got a 36-month-old toddler. There's a wide range of normal in terms of the amount of sleep that your toddler might need. And when I say wide, I really do mean wide. So even starting from the one-year-olds, some parents may have a one-year-old that only has a 9 or 10 hour sleep need, and that's per 24 hours. Wow. Whereas another parent may have a toddler who has a really high sleep need, so maybe up to 14 or 15 hours per 24 hours. So you can imagine that if you've got two parents with a toddler the same age in front of you, but you've got one of those parents has a high sleep needs toddler, their toddler is likely to be having one or two naps a day, and they'd be quite long naps in order to meet their sleep need, whereas the parent of the toddler who has a low sleep need, only 10 hours, will only be on one nap, if that, and it would only be a short nap to ensure that they can sleep well overnight.
So why is toddlerhood such a big time of change? So if you've got a toddler that's sleeping a lot or a little, like you've just said, at the 12-month mark, why does it change so much from that 12-month mark until sort of 36 months?
Yeah, there's so much happening for toddlers. So over time, in general, their total amount of sleep they need is gradually declining. So that's where it can be really confusing for parents, where you've got this toddler who used to have this great nap and now it's kind of all over the place. But so much is happening for their development and their understanding of the world as well. So they're learning, you know, how to build new friendships, how to share. They're becoming much more aware of the world around them, how big it is. They're learning that sometimes scary things happen in the world, and that can be, you know, really frightening for little toddlers. So there's lots of things changing, and I think so often they want to discuss all those big changes at bedtime.
Yeah.
Coming up to bedtime, they're like, you know, why is the sky blue? And, you know, they want to really ask all the questions, or they might just really want to push back against bedtime to kind of test out how much control do I actually have over what happens in my, you know, usual daily routine. So there's lots of hurdles that parents will encounter during this time.
I know, and it's their way of wanting to connect with you too, which is so hard because you're just so tired. You're like, just go to sleep.
Yeah.
But if they go to daycare or something, it might be the first time that they've seen you for the day. So, you know, you do get it, but it's nice to have some strategies when that happens. What about their daytime sleep? When do they get rid of those naps?
So it varies widely. When toddlers are just at the young end of their toddlerdom or toddlerhood, they may be having, they may enter toddlerhood with two naps still. So when they're around 12 months, they may still be having two naps each day. If they're starting to fight their naps, they may drop down to one nap from 12 months of age. Others will only drop down to one nap when they're closer to 18 months old. And then what we find is that toddlers will generally continue to have a nap until they are somewhere between 2 and 3 years of age. Really varies widely depending on what their sleep need is. But typically it's around about the 3 years of age that most toddlers will have dropped their nap altogether.
how do we go about helping our toddlers to drop their naps without them falling asleep in the car at 3 o'clock? What are your strategies to help get them through when it's that in-between phase?
It's so hard. There's always going to be that week or two where they kind of need the nap, they kind of don't. I often say to parents, look, try and have a few days in a row, if not a week, where you don't have to do, you know, the school run at 3 p.m. if that's what's going to put them off to sleep. So often we say to families, don't rush into it. Actually try and set aside at least a few days where you know you're not going to be doing any of those things, where they could have what I call a sneaky nap. So often it's those sneaky naps that really throw out bedtime. So it can just be a case of trying to work out, having extra supports around you at that time, or, you know, grandparents over to give you a bit of a hand so that you can do the school run solo. And, you know, I often say to parents too, if you really have to get out of the house, because often we do have older kids and things to that need to go to activities, it might be that you try to plan getting out of the house at their nap time, so they just have that nap in the car or in the pram, then it's out the way, and hopefully they're good for the rest of the day. Fingers crossed.
And if they do have that sneaky nap, if you just, you haven't got anyone to help, and you have to do school pickup, and there's no one to watch your toddler when you do that, then generally advise you to wake your toddler after no more than 20 minutes. You know, shorter the better. We call it a power nap or a bridging nap. We don't really want them having a full-on nap that late in the day, because then it's going to mean nighttime is really tricky. You may need to push bedtime a little bit later if they do have that power nap, if you find that it's taking them a long time to go to sleep at the start of the night, if they have that little nap in the car.
Another really good hack that I give parents is to go and buy a bunch of just cheap random toys that your child doesn't have, and then when you are going to go put them in the pram to do the school run, give them something completely new and unexpected, because that might hold their attention long enough that then they don't nod off to sleep. So yeah, you can have a bit of a bag of tricks.
That's a great tip. And let's talk toddler beds now. I know when your little one becomes a toddler, often we put them in a bed around that time because a sibling's coming and we want to use the cot for them. But can you give us your tips and tricks on transitioning to toddler beds?
Yeah, so definitely don't rush it if you can help it. Often when they go into a toddler bed, they realise they've got a lot of freedom. And if they're little, if they're sort of under 2.5 years of age, they often just don't know that they're supposed to stay in their bed. They want to get out, they want to grab toys or come and find you in the night. So definitely try to delay it as long as you can. Look, for a lot of families, especially if they've had a lot of trouble with their toddler's sleep, we will say, look, buy a second cot. It's going to be worth that bit of expense just to know that sleep is, you know, maintained once a new baby arrives. The last thing you want is toddler sleep kind of, you know, going off the rails. Other ways to sort of help them adjust, I would say, is keeping the sleep environment really similar. So you might put their toddler bed in the same position as their cot. You don't want to make other big changes, move them to a new room, that sort of thing, you know, at that same time. What else would you suggest?
Yeah, so I'd be thinking about involving your toddler in choosing their new bedding for their new big girl or big boy bed. So when you're doing a cover, a new pillow and a new pillowcase, sometimes it can be nice if funds allow to involve them in choosing some other soft furnishings for the room, like a rug or some cushions. Then if you're finding that they're a bit nervous about their new bed, have a little bit of quiet playtime in there with them during the day, just for 10 or 15 minutes, just to help them feel comfortable with how the room now feels. Often with new furniture, the room can smell a little bit different. So having a bit of time in there with them during the day can alleviate that fear that they might have of change.
And practice tucking Teddy or Dolly into bed as well, so they can sort of see, yeah, this is where I'm going to sleep as well, just like Teddy does.
What about tips for a smooth bedtime that might hopefully ensure that, you know, our toddlers are happy to stay in their beds overnight and not, you know, migrate around the house?
Yes.
What would your tips be for bedtime and for keeping your little one there?
Yeah, so really important to have a consistent bedtime routine for your toddlers. When your toddler knows where the boundaries are at bedtime, it can be really reassuring for them. They're about to enter into the most vulnerable state that they have overnight, so we really want them to feel safe, secure and loved. So thinking about having a list of activities that they know they happen in a particular order is the way to go. If you're finding that your toddler is using what we call stalling behaviours, one more drink, one more book, have to go out and kiss granny or whatever it is, then it can be really useful to use what we call a bedtime routine chart, where you create it with them, depending on where they are in that toddlerhood. So slightly older toddlers will love this if you give them your phone to take pictures of all of the things that happen in the lead up to bedtime. So pajamas, nappy, teeth, book. If you don't want to give them their phone and print out pictures, you can just draw the pictures with them and you paste them on a piece of paper in the order that they're going to happen. And then you make your toddler the boss of the chart. That's the trick.
That's the key.
Get their buy-in, and then they get lots of praise for following the reward. The routine chart in the right order.
So you're not then saying we have to do this next. You're saying, what do we do next? Tell me, point to what we do next, so they can, point it out on the chart. If they don't have a lot of words, then they feel like they've got that little bit of control. But it's actually a manageable amount of control. It's not out of control.
But what about the ones that just keep getting up? Just we put them in their bed, 5 seconds later they get up, they're screaming and crying, saying, no bed, no bed, no bed, They just keep getting up. What do you do for those?
Yeah, so there's two ways you might think about it. One would be for older ones, sometimes you can just talk to them and say, if you need me, call out to me, but we don't get out of bed. So we just don't get out of bed. And it might be, using a bit of a reward system as well can sometimes really encourage that behaviour. And definitely if they are in their bed and they call out to you because they need you, lots of praise. So it's so tempting to feel impatient and like, oh, I've got to go back in there again. But be like, well done, that was great. You stayed in your bed and you called out to me and I knew that you needed me. So here I am, what do you need? That can kind of flip it and make it a bit more positive. So sometimes a bit of rewards and praise can work well there. But we acknowledge that there are toddlers that would climb the walls if they could and they just won't stay put. One of the things parents can consider is using a safety gate on the bedroom door. And a lot of parents are a bit horrified when they hear this because they feel like, oh, I don't want to lock them, in there. But it can actually be really helpful because they can see you still. You could be sitting right there at the door, but you're on the other side of the baby gate or safety gate. You can give them lots of reassurance, but you're really showing them that we just don't leave the room overnight unless there's an adult there to take you out. It doesn't mean that you have to, sit there and, just do nothing while you're raging in their bedroom and having a big tantrum. You can keep going in and out to them, but you're just offering reassurance every time, explaining to them that it's time for sleep, and then you return to your chair. And that can be a great strategy if you're worried that there's maybe some separation anxiety or fear happening for your toddler. You're always present then, but they're really being shown that we just don't leave our room once it's bedtime. But there's lots of different ways we work with families on strategies like that. That's just one sort of example of something parents could consider.
What about nightmares and night terrors? This seems to be something that I know my kids have really experienced, and it can be quite challenging as parents when you see a little one distressed in their sleep. What causes nightmares and night terrors? Can you explain to us the difference between the two and the best ways to help our little ones when they're experiencing them?
Yeah, so you're right, they're both different. So night terrors or sleep terrors generally happen in the first third of the night, and it's normally when your child's in slow wave sleep. The good news is, whilst you will remember them, they will not. So they can be really quite dramatic, and your toddler might wake up screaming, and they might be flailing about. If they're in a bed, they might get out of the bed. If you try to intervene, they might inadvertently hurt you, they will have no memory of it.
They're not actually awake. They look awake, but they're not.
Yeah, and if you try to make eye contact with them, they're not going to be making eye contact with you. They might be talking and using words, but it's not in an interactive way. So the best thing to do if your child is having a sleep terror is to ensure that they're safe, so they're not hurting themselves. But then don't intervene in terms of, don't try and comfort them, don't try and talk to them. because if you do, that can actually lead the sleep terrors to escalate or last longer. So really you want to be, once you're sure that they're safe, you just want to stay in the room with them until it passes. They will go straight back to sleep. Your heart will be racing. They will be fine. You'll tuck them in. And the next morning, they won't remember it at all.
Yeah, and it can sound really counterintuitive to say, don't, you know, go and hug them and hold them. But what we know is that if you can stay hands off, often a night terror will pass in a few minutes and they're, you know, back lying down and calm again. Whereas if you try to hold them, night terrors can go for 45 or even 50 minutes. Yeah. And it's just so stressful and so difficult. So definitely try to stay hands off. I reckon the other key thing is that often children who have night terrors run really hot in their sleep.
That's true.
For so many of them, when we say, look, just dress them in fewer layers or take a blanket off, and then all of a sudden the night terrors are more or less gone. So that can make a really big difference.
So nightmares are different. So nightmares tend to happen a bit later on in the night, and your child will remember them. So that's the main way that you can tell the difference, the timing of them and that your child remembers them. Now, if your child does have a nightmare or bad dream, then of course you'll need to go to them, reassure them, but avoid having a dissection of the dream at that point. Yes. You want to say, it's just a dream, just a bad dream. It's time to go back to sleep. Mummy's here, daddy's here. And you might need to give them lots of cuddles and a sip of water and stay with them until they go back to sleep. And then the next day you can talk about what happened in the nightmare if they would like to talk about it. For very young toddlers, well actually no, all toddlers, it can be helpful to describe to them what a dream is because they won't know. So you might say to them, it's like a movie that's playing behind your eyes. And it's just like a movie, it's not real. And for older toddlers and older children, there are different techniques that we can use to help them reimagine the ending of a nightmare, but those are often a little bit too advanced for little toddlers, would you say?
Yeah, and look, if sometimes they wake in the night and they're just so frightened, they're shaking like a leaf, and for some parents it's really challenging, especially if there's been a history of co-sleeping and they've finally got their child into a bed or a cot and then they have a nightmare, they're really frightened. You don't want to bring them back into your bed because you know that's going to confuse them, but you do want to give them lots of comfort and you want them to go back to sleep quickly. So in those cases we often suggest create a distraction. You just want to get them not thinking about the thing that scares them, and that could be, I mean, this is not something you're probably going to have to do a lot of, but it might be that you walk them out to the kitchen and they have just a little cup of juice or something they wouldn't normally be allowed to have in the middle of the night. Or it might be, hey, let's go and pick out a different teddy that you can cuddle and then you can go through the different teddies together. You don't want it to be too bright and stimulating, but sometimes just trying to get them thinking about something different, you know, at 3 a.m. can really help them then calm down and get back to sleep.
This is such great advice. In regards to sleep, creating healthy sleep habits for toddlers, what are your top tips?
Healthy sleep habits. So, look, I mean, we've talked about the bedtime routine. That's a really key one, sort of showing them that there's just one way that we wind down for sleep. If you're noticing, you know, that they're really waking up a lot at night time, particularly if they're having really, really long and very wakeful stretches at night, or what we call split nights or biphasic nights, that could indicate that they're getting a bit too much day sleep and it's really starting to impact their nights. So you definitely want to be thinking, you know, is there what we call a sleep pressure problem? Is there too much day sleep happening and that's impacting their nights? Because that's going to keep getting in the way of their sleep, you know, improving over time. And also be thinking about when they, you know, wake up at night, are they looking for something? So if you gave them a lot of help to fall asleep, or if there was, maybe there's music playing when they fall asleep at the start of the night and it's not playing when they wake up overnight, that could be causing them to wake up a lot. So really in the toddler years, we want them to establish those skills where they're able to calm themselves and put themselves off to sleep. And if they wake up overnight, provided they don't actually need anything, that they're able to then get themselves back to sleep. So that's where working on more independent settling can definitely be helpful, because I often say to parents, once they've got that skill of being able to settle themselves off to sleep, it's a lifelong skill, you know, and it's something they're just going to use forever. And that's a really good way to just protect their sleep, you know, as they go into kinder and as they enter the school years as well. Having solid nighttime sleep is really important for their health and well-being.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Fallon Cook and Dr. Laura Conway from Infant Sleep Australia. You are just such amazing sleep experts. We're very grateful to you for sharing your advice today on the podcast. A huge thanks to Mostella for sponsoring this episode. Did you know that children with eczema have poorer sleep quality than those without eczema? Mostella's Stellatopia range is specifically formulated for eczema-prone skin. Fragrance-free, it soothes, protects, and strengthens the skin barrier to help minimize itching and flare-ups that can negatively impact child sleep and ultimately their quality of life and that of their family. Stellatopia products from Mostella go through 450 tests and measures to ensure safety and efficacy, and a dermatologist and pediatrician tested. Mostella is our family's favourite. You've been listening and watching the Expert Guide to Parenthood podcast. Never forget, parents,
you've got this.
The information provided in this podcast is general in nature and is intended to support, not replace, a discussion with your doctor or healthcare professional. Parents, You've Got This take no responsibility for any medical decisions made by individuals based on the information provided in this podcast.
Join a Parents You've Got This masterclass today to be prepared, excited, and educated
for pregnancy, birth, baby, and parenthood.
Visit www.parentsyouvegotthis.com.au
and sign up for a masterclass today.